Now this is channel 2 over, this is channel 2 over, this is channel 2 over, this is channel 2 over on Louise Graham's reel. This is an account of the Feast of Family. This is an account of the Feast of Family, and this is Monday the 3rd of November, 69. Now this is a continuation of the talk on Monday morning, the 3rd of November, 69. This is channel 2 over on Louise Graham's reel. Is that right? Well, I ought to hear that, oughtn't I?
I guess so.
I mean, if I work with you a little bit, why don't I do that? Is it available, or is that?
I think so. If they'll make us one.
Make a copy.
I'll just talk, tell it again.
Now you're on Lynn Feast then.
Well, there was three Feast of Men, Andrew, Jacob, and John. Well, my grandfather settled right where I am. And Jake Feaster went on down below there where Lynn lives, in that old big house. And then my Uncle Andrew, he went on down south to Titusville. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Lynn Feaster's branch comes in, from my great Uncle Jake. Mm-hmm. And then you see the John Feaster branch is right from right here, in my side. And then you see Aunt Lizzie, which was my great grandfather's sister. That's where the Reeves bunch comes in, you see. And my great grandfather and my great uncle Jake and Aunt Lizzie are buried there in my backyard. Well, they have Confederate markers. My father got them put up years ago. But now that's the only three that we know definite where they were. See, my father was old enough to remember, and he showed us. Well, there had been only one grave there in about 65 years, and that was from Cousin Eddie Reeves died, which was Feaster's father. They brought him back there and buried him. But it was just down in the woods, cows and everything is all open. So after we bought it, Hort and I just put a little fence around the little vicinity of the cemetery. So then, just since Hort's been gone, and I had money to do with, I put a big hurricane fence. I took in almost an acre. And then I've got a big monument in the middle of the cemetery.
Oh.
And it's got the names of everybody that's in the cemetery. And then I've got a little granite marker on each grave. You see, the graves had rocks all around them. Well, then it was so hard to get it mowed. I just have to stand right there with the niggers. I didn't want them to disrupt the graves. So when I ordered the stone, I happened to be coming through Georgia up at the granite place where they make them. And the man gave me a whole lot of little granite pieces, and I brought them home in my car. So I built up a red brick foundation. And then I paid $250 for the big granite marker that goes on top with all the inscription of all the names on it. Now we just got the little granite, and we can just go in there and clean up. But you know, here in 65 is when Cousin May Feaster, that row died from up here at Rochelle.
Yes.
She had already, when I was fixing the cemetery over, they sent me $25 to help with it. And they asked that if they could be buried there. And I told them, well, yeah, sure. See, Uncle Jake's her father. My great Uncle Jake would have been her father.
Oh.
And she wanted to be buried there. And so they helped me with the cemetery and with that hurricane fence and the stone and all. I had around $500 in it. And they brought her back out there to bury her. So when she requested it, after she passed away, I called the funeral home. I knew that it wasn't a public burial ground, and I thought we'd have to get a permit, you know. And so I talked to William Thomas, and they said no, that they could arrange that. So we brought her back out and buried her. And now Cud Bruce and their family put a nice double stone to her grave. And so then when Cud Bruce passes away, he'll be there. See, he's 93 years old.
Yeah. Well, now, he's still up at Rochelle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he's not able to do much now.
No, see, he and I are first cousins. Horace Vetrow, you know Horace, is Cousin Bruce's brother. Cousin Bruce was the oldest. And when Uncle Albert died, Uncle Albert Vetrow married my father's sister, Charlotte. And all these Vetrow kids come there, and one of Papa's sisters, Mary, married a brother, Daniel Vetrow. But anyhow, when Uncle Albert died, he had $77,000 and all this property, bukus of it. And Cousin Bruce, he was the oldest. He thought, you know, he was going to be big eye. He was going to be boss. So it was seven children and $77,000 cash. So each child got $7,000. Well, then the property was to be divided. So anyhow, Bert and Cousin Bruce and all, Cousin Bruce was just overbearing, tell you the truth. He was just domineering. And he didn't want any of them over any of the property till it was all settled. Well, he had no more business on it. All of them had business on it till it was settled. And so Dan, which we call him Bert, he was riding, looking for something, I don't know, across the field, and Cousin Bruce was too. And Dan had got off of his, fixing the fence, and Cousin Bruce drove up and asked him what was he doing over there, and Bert says, well, I'm trying to fix the fence. He says, have I told you not to go over this property? And Dan says, well, Bruce, I feel like fixing the fence. He says, someone's got, so one brought word brought another, and Cousin Bruce has to count it. And he cut loose on Dan. Bert, and he says, Bruce, don't hit me again with that cow whip. And Cousin Bruce cut loose on him again, and Cousin Bruce could really use a cow whip. And he did, Dan shot him. And he went right through his chest, and Cousin Bruce carries that bullet right till today.
Well, what do you know?
It's still in there.
Well, what do you know?
So when he fell off the horse and broke his hip, and, oh, he's 65. I went to the hospital with him. When he started making x-rays, I told Dr. Cunningham, I said, now, Dr. Cunningham, if you see something in that chest that's not supposed to be there, I said, it's a bullet. He says, what? I said, yeah, it's a bullet.
Yeah.
He says, well, what's it doing in there? I said, well, they never would take it out. He said, well, how long has it been in there? I said, long before my time. And that thing's still in that Cousin Bruce's chest. When they x-rayed, they saw it. And so now, since Cousin May and Cousin Bruce, they divided their property that they have. They divided their property and deeded to each one of their children. They have four children.
Yeah.
And then let them give them a lifetime estate on it. So they didn't want no shooting again. They didn't want somebody else to kill them.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's the reason why, you know, that Hart was kind of leery about, you see, he had everything fixed. I didn't even have to administer on our estate.
Oh.
And my father made a will, too. And he knew that I got an older brother that's just like Cud Bruce.
Uh-huh.
So my father appointed my younger brother and me as a minister of his estate. And we knew, well, see, Hart and I took care of Mom and Papa as long as they lived. We was the only one that stayed here. It was nine of us living.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when Mama died, Hart and I had to put her away. Well, we knew when Papa died, we'd have to do that too. So Papa fixed it where that, you know, that Hart would get back what he had paid. So he still had 87 acres down at the old place that was into the estate. Well, Hart and I knew just exactly what was owing, and so I was going to have trouble with my older brother. He says, I'm going to tell you one goddamn thing, that everything's going to be sold, even to the old table. See, Ms. May had tried to get my old table. I had offered us $500 for Papa, the old table. Well, Papa wouldn't take it. So in Papa's will, he said, after all of his, he wanted everything sold, his property sold, and the money divided. And Henry said, we're going to sell every goddamn thing, even to the old table. I said, oh, no, we're not. And so my other brothers, they went to Henry, and he says, now, if you want to go to that sale, we had an auction sale and everything for 87 acres. He says, now, if you want to go to that sale and behave yourself, you can go, baby, don't you best stay with me. said, because not a one of us had done one thing towards helping support Mom and Papa but Louise and Horace. Said it shouldn't even have to be an auction sale. He says, now that's just it. Said, you stay away. So he knew that all the rest of my brothers meant that.
Mm-hmm.
So when we advertised and auctioned the thing, and Hoyt and I bid just enough above what Mom and Papa owed to put a nice tombstone and fix the cemetery out there where they're buried, and nobody bid against us.
Mm-hmm.
So that I got the other 87 acres.
What, Louise, what does Mr. Henry have up there now? Is that Bruce?
Oh, they got a home, and of course it's left to the, you know, they have one daughter that's an old maid. She lives there, and Theo lives with her.
Uh-huh.
And when they made the will, they left her the house and 6 acres of land.
Uh-huh.
And they've got a nice bunch of cattle. See,
uh-huh.
Theo works now at the med center at
uh-huh.
night, and then he raises corn. He's got a nice, they got a nice place up there.
Do they have much land?
Well, they have, there's four children, and I think each one of them got about maybe 100 and some acres to be, you know, going up towards Rochelle.
Yeah.
And all on the other side of that canal,
yeah.
On both sides of that road till you get up to that hill.
Yeah.
You know where all that pretty corn's all
yeah.
those
yeah.
things.
What is Seal? What is he interested in now?
Nothing. Working, making another dollar.
Yeah.
I'll get so mad at him, I think he's busting over something.
Well, he does write my church money.
Oh, yeah, he loves his church. He comes down in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
See, Theo and I in that place together at the river. See, we have he had the land down in the forest, and he knew how much I, see, he caught it, and Theo was real close. If Hart had anything, Theo could get it.
Uh-huh.
And if Theo had anything, Hart could get it, but that was about it with Theo. And after Hart left, I guess Theo kind of felt like he wanted to do what he could for me. And he's been marvelous. I don't know what I've ever done when Hart first died, because he came to my cows and the fences and everything.
Well, now, Theo stays out there in the woods more than anything else, doesn't he?
He stays there at the home with his father and sister. You
yeah.
see, their mother died
yeah.
not too long ago. But he told me about his land down here at the river in the forest. And so we went down to look it over, and he says, well, let's just build us a top cabin or something. And so I had a chance to buy a trailer for $740 cash. So I bought that trailer, and we carried it down there. And we left it down there about 2 years, and I thoroughly enjoyed going down there. But he never did go very much. He don't love the fish. I don't know why on earth. So then when the canal went through down there and ruined the fishing down there, we started out looking for us another place in the Swanee. And so this old Davis across the hall, all the pond there from me, had this place. And so Theo said, well, Lee, he said, we'll buy it if you like it. And I said, well, I love it. And see, it was still a mortgage on it. He could have sold it, but he didn't have nobody that had the money to pay the mortgage off where he could clear the title. So he said, well, you make the down payment and let's get the mortgage cleared off. As soon as I get my money from the canal down there, I'll pay it. So he paid it. I paid the first $5,000, and he paid $5,000. And then we paid $2,000 a year on it. Of course, I could have paid tax cash for it, but I ain't paying but 8% to the bank on that note down there, and I got my money on it, 10%, so I didn't see it. I'm still 2% ahead. So I make payments at twice a year, $1,000.
But Theo don't like the fish.
He ain't been down there but one time in over a year. That was my birthday party. He had my birthday party down there. He come down.
And his sister.
Well, one thing, as long as his mother lived, then he could take his father and his mother and sister to be there together.
Mm-hmm.
But since she passed away, he don't like to go fishing without taking his daddy, because he loves to go.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got to get back home by night, because she won't stay that night by herself.
Oh.
So he's just handicapped. It's It's just pitiful. He was just hard as he was.
Now, this is Channel 2 over around 270. Channel 2 over around 270. End of the visit, Louise Graham, on Monday, the 3rd of November, 6 to 9, up before lunch. Before lunch. She left right on the dot at 12 o'clock, as I remember. Now, this is Channel 2 over around 170. And the end of the visit was Louise Graham on Monday, the 3rd of November, 6 to 9. It started at Channel 2 right around 200. So this is about an hour. About an hour tape. It started at Channel 2 right around 200. And this is Channel 2 over around 170. Monday, the 3rd of November, 6 to 9. Louise Graham.